Well, hello and welcome. It's good to be with you, and I hope that you're having a great day today. And it's good to have this time to be together. I always look forward to this. I hope you do. I hope it's a blessing to you. And the best part about this is that we get to meet with our Lord. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to grow in His grace and grow in our love and our trust in Him. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for the day that You have given to us, Father, just the ways that You have already spoken to us, and Lord, the ways You have led us. And we're thankful that You brought us here, Lord, and that You brought us here because You want to speak to us. You want us to know You. Lord, I pray in this time that You open our minds and our hearts. Lord, I just pray, O God, that You'll enable us, O Lord, to know You better. Be with us in this time, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Although I hope that you are having a good day today, I know we've all been through times, situations, circumstances that wore us down and just dried out our soul, almost as if our heart was a desert. As we open God's Word today, we find out that's exactly what David is in, the type of situation he's in. He's in a very much a literal, physical desert. As we open God's Word to Psalm 63, and we look at the superscription, that is that inspired writing above the psalm, it says, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah, a desert region, a very arid region, a very harsh region. We don't know for certain the time frame of this. Again, most scholars think this was written in that time frame when David was being pursued by Absalom, his son, who was leading a coup against him. David obviously had enemies. He was obviously on the run. If you look down at verse 11, as we will in a few moments, David refers to himself as the king. So this had to be some time after David had come to the throne. And again, the rebellion of Absalom would fit that description. And so here's David on the run from his own son, who's leading a coup against him. David, you know, very real possibility of David being killed by the forces led by his own son. And he's not only, you know, he's been chased into this very harsh, arid desert region. And yet, even in the midst of all this, even though David is in fact in a desert region, David is in fact that there is life, that's almost as if David's in a spiritual garden. You know, reading over this, thinking about David being there in the desert, you know, you think about animals. So many animals that God's created to be in the desert. I know the times I've been out west, I've always thought the mule deer was a beautiful animal, and I've seen him in the mountains of Colorado. He ranges all the way up to Alberta and British Columbia up in the high Rockies, and you would see the mule deer, and you'd think, well, that's exactly where he belongs. And yet, amazingly, their range goes all the way, yes, from the high Rockies up in the British Columbia and Alberta, but their range goes all the way down to southern Arizona and even northern Mexico in harsh desert regions. And you wonder, how on earth can they live there? And yet they not only survive, they thrive. And as we look at David in this 63rd Psalm, he kind of reminds me of the mule deer. He's in a desert situation. And yet in his heart and in his soul, there is almost like a garden. He's not only surviving there, he's in fact thriving. And we wonder how he can do that. Well, look what we read as we look at this psalm. O God, You are my God. I shall seek You earnestly. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh yearns for You in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory. Because Your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise You. So I will bless You as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in Your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. When I remember You on my bed, I meditate on You in the night watches. For You have been my help, and in the shadow of Your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to You. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it will go into the depths of the earth. They will be delivered over to the power of the sword. They will be a prey for foxes. But the king will rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by Him will glory. For the mouths of those who speak lies will be stopped. David's in a desert, but spiritually, it's as if he's in a garden. What enabled David to be that way? What can we learn from him for those times when we go through periods of our life where it seems as if we're in a dry, burned over desert? Well, notice, first of all, we need to seek God's closeness. You know, David's primary concern was his fellowship with God. It was not getting out of the desert, it was being in fellowship with God. Again, you think about verses 1 and 2. O God, you are my God, I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I've seen you in the sanctuary, to see your power and your glory. David's in a desert country, but more than his body needed water, his soul needed God. And just as David had experienced worship with God back in Jerusalem, he desperately needed God in the wilderness. You know, when we're in a desert situation in our lives, we tend to prioritize getting out, or at least minimizing the misery. But our highest priority needs to be drawing close to God. And you look at the benefits of this. Look at verse 3. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. You think about the goodness that God pours into our life. He is what makes life worth living. You think of the fullness that he gives us. Look at verse 4. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. The idea of lifting up hands is that of expectation that God is going to meet our need. And so David, there in the desert, he's focusing on God. You think as well as verse 5, the richness of life. My soul is satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. I don't know what you enjoy eating, but just imagine, you know, a steak, the excellent meat, seasoned perfectly, grilled to whatever you consider to be perfection, and you sink your teeth into it for that first bite, which is always the best, just how good it tastes. David is saying, God, you do even more for my soul than that. You know, John 1:4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Paul wrote in Philippians 3 that compared to Christ, everything else is rubbish. We need to, in fact, seek God's closeness. More than we need to get out of the desert, more than we need to minimize the misery, we need to seek his closeness. We also need to remember God's faithfulness. Look again at verses 6 through 8, and especially verse 7. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. David says, God, you have helped me and protected me. David deliberately set his heart on remembering those times where God had led him, provided for him, and in fact protected him. And that enabled him to trust the Lord, that led him to cling to the Lord. You think back in your life, especially if you're in a desert time, and you think about God's works for you in the past. You think about his deliverances. You think about his provisions. You think about the way he's answered prayers. We need to remember God's faithfulness. Remembering God's faithfulness in the past enables us to trust him in the present. Certainly his faithfulness in the past as we read God's word and see how he provided for his people. Certainly as we study history, but certainly in our own life as well. We have a God who can be trusted, and we need to put our confidence in him. We need to remember what he's done. And then lastly, we need to trust God's plans. Look at verses 9 through 11. But those who seek my life to destroy it will go into the depths of the earth. They will be delivered over to the power of the sword. They will be a prey for foxes. But the king will rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him will glory. For the mouths of those who speak lies will be stopped. You know, people have problems with passages such as this, but you know, if you read them very carefully, David is not so much praying that this happens to his enemies as much as he's acknowledging the fact that this is what's happening. David is saying, God, I don't know how or when or where, but you are going to work this out, and I can in fact trust you. Just like you and I, child of God, we might not know how or when or where God's going to work and move and bring us out of that desert, but he will deliver us. You know, we know the promise from Romans 8:28 that we know God causes all things to work together for the good of those that love God, to those called according to his purpose. And we can live with absolute certainty. We can trust his plans. Yes, David may have been in a physical desert, but spiritually he was in a garden. And you may be in a desert today, and I'm not in any way belittling that or taking away from the severity or the pain or the concern. But there is, in fact, the ability, even in the midst of a physical or an emotional or a financial desert, to have be in a spiritual garden. But we need to seek God's closeness. We need to remember His faithfulness, and we need to trust His plans. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for the day. And, O Lord God, as we are before You, Lord, may we learn from David. And, Father, especially for those, Lord, who are going through a desert right now in their life, Father, may in their soul, may they experience a garden from walking with You. Lord, let them feel Your nearness and Your love and Your comfort and Your strength. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope that you're not in a desert today, but if you are, I hope, like David, even in the midst of it, that you're in a spiritual garden. And I hope that as you go through the rest of this day, that you'll know His closeness, His nearness, His love. And I hope that in Him, you'll have His blessing and that you'll have a great day.